The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Continuing where we left off yesterday with the Vespers scriptures, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is the protector of the trainees during the day, and Achalanata Bodhisattva is the protector of trainees during the night. So, in the night, in the evening after meditation, we have a priest called the Heavenly Guardian who goes around the monastery, sealing the gates and making sure the temple is safe for the night. And then the Heavenly Guardian comes into the shrine of Achalanata here and recites the scriptures of Achalanata Bodhisattva. In the morning, the master of the day, who is the representative of the abbess for ceremonies that the abbess can't make it to, begins the day with the pre-dawn office, just before dawn, reciting the scripture of Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva, in the shrine here to Avalokiteshvara. Now, the Vespers, I kind of think of the Vespers scriptures as offering gratitude and saying good night to Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva with the litany of the Great Compassionate One, and then greeting Achalanata Bodhisattva as the protector of all of us through the night. Most of the Vespers scriptures are self-explanatory enough. There are a couple of things. In the invocation of Achalanata, hail to the mandala. Most essentially, the mandala is your place of meditation. And so when you see, for example, a picture of Shakyamuni Buddha sitting still under the attack of the army of Mara, his place of meditation is his mandala, and that's the place where no matter what comes to attack him, it cannot touch him. It is his refuge. And so our place of meditation is a refuge just like that. Hail to the mandala. Let us so be engulfed within its praises evermore, that by our own wills and vigilance may we our fetters cut away. May we within the temple of our own hearts dwell amidst the myriad mountains. The invocation of Mahakala, the mandala of the sons and daughters of the Buddha. Again, the sitting place. When you receive the precepts, for those of you who have received the precepts, in taking the precepts to heart, you become the child of Buddha. So you become the son or daughter of Buddha with the intent of growing up to be a fully enlightened Buddha given time. Mahakala is another of the protector of trainees through the night. The invocation of the cosmic Buddha is brief and simple, which is, I think, very appropriate for the reality of the universal cosmic Buddha, which, when you come face to face with it, is in fact very simple. Still, beneath the complicated thoughts and activities of the human mind. The golden bell that rings but once is the bell that has never started and has never ceased ringing. It's the voice of the cosmic Buddha that calls us to meditation. Peace upon the pillow. The pillow, literally or figuratively, is the cushion that we sit on during the day and the cushion on which we rest our heads at night. Makura Om simply means peace upon the pillow. So these scriptures all together help us to carry on our meditation through the night with awareness and vigilance of Achalanata and the other guardians, taking refuge in the cosmic Buddha and simply doing our meditation, whether we are awake or asleep. I've noticed over the years that while you can't necessarily do it deliberately, that we tend over time to start keeping the precepts even in our dreams. Coming out of the night, we enter into the protection again of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. And the scripture of Avalokiteshvara is the first scripture that is recited every morning in the temple. This scripture is the 25th chapter of the Lotus scripture. And it has two parts. The verse part, which is the scripture that we recite every day, and the prose section, which I have included here because there are a few things in the prose section that are not repeated in the verse section and that can help us understand the nature of the great compassion of the cosmic Buddha. The scripture of Avalokiteshvara is almost a scripture on its own, independent of the Lotus scripture. However, it carries the influence and flavor of the Lotus scripture. The Lotus scripture, the central teaching of the Lotus scripture is that all living things will, in time, realize Buddhahood and become Buddhas in their own right. What this means is really what shows in the fourth law of the universe, that without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails, however long it may take. And it also shows us that we are not separate or different than what a Buddha is. As it says in the Shushogi, in the chapter on contrition, the Buddhas were as we are now, and we will be as they in the future. In this scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, there are a few different names that we use interchangeably. Avalokiteshvara, of course, is the Sanskrit. Kanzion is the same name in Japanese, sometimes abbreviated to Kanon. Many of you may be familiar with the Chinese of this, which is Kuan Yin. And another name, which is less commonly used, is Kanji Zai. That's the Japanese. I believe the Chinese is Quan Tzu Zai. And that's the name that is given to Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva in the scripture of great wisdom. And it means the Holy Lord. So, in the scripture of great wisdom, it begins with the Holy Lord, Great Kanzayana Bosatsu. Now, in the way that in the Soto Zen tradition the word bodhisattva is used, it doesn't represent an individual person or being. It represents an aspect of the universal cosmic Buddha. So, for example, Avalokiteshvara represents the compassion of the cosmic Buddha. Samantabhadra represents the great love of the cosmic Buddha. Manjusri, the great wisdom of the cosmic Buddha. Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva represents the compassion of the cosmic Buddha with a particular emphasis on refraining from evil and understanding the law of karma. And Achalanatha Bodhisattva represents the bodhisattva whose strength is the will and vigilance to be still in the midst of whatever conditions may arise. Because the bodhisattva of compassion is universal, we can see Avalokiteshvara in anyone or in anything if we look with care. And that includes ourselves. We're not apart from the compassion of the cosmic Buddha. Simply by doing our training and trying to be like Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, we show this attribute of great compassion. To call for help of the great compassion of the cosmic Buddha, as this scripture will describe, is no different than to be still and to look up. So, coming back to what I said in the beginning lecture, when we encounter disturbing or difficult circumstances, rather than becoming fearful or looking for who to blame or becoming angry, we can simply sit still and look up and ask for the help of Avalokiteshvara, simply by doing our meditation, and sometimes quite literally by asking the help of the Bodhisattva. I've seen too many people's stories and had my own experiences where in a difficult time calling on Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva and looking at the figure of the Bodhisattva has brought peace. Now, this matter of being still is described quite beautifully in the exhortation for the dying, the first exhortation, which is, as far as I'm concerned, also an exhortation for the living. Pay attention, be still, calm, clear-headed. Do not allow your thinking to wander, or you will not hear the voice of the Lord. Know that nothing stands between you and the Lord except your own opinion of yourself, i.e. the koan. In this scripture, the Lord, the voice of the Lord, is shown as the presence and voice of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. One of the things in the prose section of the scripture that I find helpful to keep in mind is the names of the different bodhisattvas. There are four figures that work in the presentation of this scripture. And of course, the first one is the Buddha himself. Again, the Buddha means the awakened one. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, whose name means the one who hears the cries of the world. Mujjini Bodhisattva, the Bodhisattva of immeasurably pure intent and unceasing devotion. And at the end of the scripture, Jiji Bodhisattva, who I'll talk about when we get there. So the question that brings the Buddha to describe the life of Kanzeon is Mujjini Bodhisattva's question, world-honored one, for what reason is Kanzeon, the Bodhisattva who hears the cries of the world, so named? The Buddha said to Mujjini Bodhisattva, good man, if innumerable hundreds of millions of myriads of beings suffering all kinds of trials and sorrows will, on hearing Kanzeon Bodhisattva, call his or her name wholeheartedly, he or she will immediately hear their voices and they will be released. If you look up and ask for help, help will be given. It will not necessarily be given in the way that you expect or in the time that you expect. It is given. The Buddha then goes on to describe what I call a list of the calamities. And, of course, anyone who watches the news will know that these are the kinds of things that happen to people. And we know that sometimes things like this happen to us. These can also be things that simply arise in your mind. And as we know, when we're frightened or worried about something or upset by something, our mind can tend to go to extremes. And so this is really a picture of the extremes that our koan can go to in the mind. And with each extreme that is spelled out, the refrain is just listen, look up, call on Kanzeon. Again, coming back to this initial response of the Buddha, If innumerable hundreds of millions of myriads of beings suffering all kinds of trials and sorrows will, on hearing of Kanzeon Bodhisattva, call his or her name wholeheartedly, he or she will immediately hear their voices and they will be released. This really points to the universal nature of Kanzeon. Kanzeon, you know, later in the scripture it says that there's not a place that Kanon does not go. In fact, Kanzeon, as the cosmic Buddha, is with us wherever we are. So it's like the water that is with us, and all we have to do is turn on the tap. Turning on the tap, of course, is looking up and asking for help and being still within the center of your being. As we go along through the scripture, one of the passages says, when people are consumed with excessive lust, let them reverently reflect on Kanzeon Bodhisattva, and they will be freed from their desires. If they are overwhelmed with persistent anger, let them reverently reflect on Kanzeon, and they will be freed from anger. When they are much troubled with ignorance and confusion, let them always reverently reflect on Kanzeon, and they will be freed from their delusions. O Mujjini, his spiritual power is as boundless as this and is replete with manifold blessings. May all beings always keep him or her in in their thoughts. So here we have greed, anger, and delusion. Just like what it shows on the scroll of the six worlds. And by calling on Kanzayon, all of these aspects of greed, anger, and delusion become the garden of Kanzayon in which we can train. Now, one of the sections of the prose part of the scripture speaks of the various ways in which Kanzayon appears. Mujini Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, how does Kanzayon Bodhisattva manifest in the worlds of hard-hearted endurance and continual rebirth? How does he teach the Dharma to all beings? What is the extent of his skillful means?" This term, the world of hard-hearted endurance and continual rebirth, is a translation of what is sometimes called the Saha world. Hard-heartedness, meaning a kind of willfulness that never understands or never is willing to turn to the cosmic Buddha, and so continually goes round and round, making the same mistakes. One of the purposes for which we meditate is to soften our hard hearts and in that way to grow faith. Then the Buddha goes on to explain what are amount to about 33 different ways that the Bodhisattva can appear, ranging from appearing in the form of a Buddha or one of the Buddha's Arahant disciples, a Pracheka Buddha, and various gods and protective deities, all the way through different kinds of human leaders and rulers, ordinary people, and children. So if you think about it, what the scripture is saying is that the Bodhisattva can appear in any form, including the forms of you and I, you and me. The Bodhisattva can be recognized when you look with the eyes of meditation in every one of us, and as I mentioned earlier, even in inanimate things. If we think of the monastery as a mandala, the cloister as the circle going around the central garden of the monastery, is the path on which we walk our training. Inanimate, and yet it can show the acceptance of the cosmic Buddha and of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. O Mujini, Kanzayon Bodhisattva performs such meritorious deeds by assuming varieties of forms and by appearing in all different lands to save and release beings, ferrying them to the other shore. Sometimes ferrying beings to the other shore is translated as converting someone, converting them from the mind of greed, hate, and delusion to the mind of compassion, to trust and taking refuge in the compassion of the cosmic Buddha. Make wholehearted offerings to Kanzayon Bodhisattva. In the midst of fears, perils, and disaster, he gives peace and joy. And for this reason, in these worlds of endurance and continual rebirth, he is called Bestower of Fearlessness. This is another one of the names of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, bestower of fearlessness. And if you look up to the figure of the cosmic Buddha on the main altar here and look at the figure of Shakyamuni Buddha, they're holding their hand up in a gesture of reassurance, or what is called the mudra of fearlessness. So they're showing the compassion of the cosmic Buddha in the gesture that they make. Now we move into the verse section of the scripture. At that time, in verse, Mujjini Bodhisattva asked, "World Honored One, possessor of all grace, what reason is there for the Buddha's son, great Kanzayon, to thus be so addressed?" Remember here that what Mujjini is asking is assuming that you understand the meaning of the name Kanzayon, which is hearer of the cries of the world. What reason is there for the Buddha's son or daughter, the hearer of the cries of the world, to thus be so addressed? The honored one made answer too in verse, "Just listen to the life of Kanzayon. To calls from every quarter he responds. Of oceanic depth, his holy vows. A myriad Buddhas has he truly served for ages past beyond the thought of man and made for a great vows of purity. Wherever a Buddha has appeared, there are those trainees who have served the Buddha by showing the compassion of the cosmic Buddha in their training. That is just as true now as it is in the past and as it will be in the future. It is a universal principle. When people hear his name and see his form and think of him not vainly in their hearts, all forms of ill in all the worlds shall cease." Again, when you look up to Kanzayon, remember that this is a bodhisattva, an aspect of the cosmic Buddha that is beyond the opposites of male and female. So even if the scripture says his or him, it means that which is beyond the opposites of male and female and which encompasses them both and which every one of us can embody just as we are. We don't have to change into something that we are not. All we have to do is work at converting our own greed, hate, and delusion. And to do that is to think of the bodhisattva not vainly in our heart, without expectations. If wishing harm an enemy should try to push another in a fiery pit, the victim should on Kanzayon's great power think, and straightway that fiery pit shall be transformed into a cool and silver lake. Again, this can happen literally, or it can simply be that fire of anger that someone pushes you into. If drifting in the vast great ocean's foam, a man should be in danger of his life from monstrous fish or evil beings, let him only think on Kanzayon's great power. At once the sea will all compassion be. If from the top of Sumeru a man be hurled down by an enemy's cruel hand, just let him think on Kanzayon's great power, and like the sun he will remain aloft. Mount Sumeru is, in Hindu cosmology, which was adopted by Buddhism, the central mountain of the universe. It's the mountain that is represented by the steps of the altar here. and it represents for each of us that mountain of self which we climb in converting our greed, hate, and delusion. If we get along in our training and then find something that seems to throw us down, if we remain still and look up, we cannot be harmed and we cannot be damaged in our training. If chased by wicked men, a man should fall upon a mountain, let him think again of Kanzeon's power, and no injury will e'en a single hair of him sustain. If ringed by enemies, a man should be threatened by them, all with their swords in hand, just let him think on Kanzeon's great power. Compassion then within their hearts will dwell. Remember that this scripture is not talking about magic, and what I mean by magic is making the world conform to our personal will. It's not talking about that. And some of the passages in this scripture can sound as if they are magical. If someone's about to cut off your head, that may happen. But if you think on Kanzeon, you can be still and know that place where you are undisturbed and unafraid. And there are at least two of our ancestors in the ancestral line that found themselves in this position. One of them was Shishi Bodhi, and one was Taiso Eka, the second ancestor in the Chinese line. I might mention here also that in the prose section of the scripture, there's a point where it says if a woman desires a male child, she can just call on Kanzeon and the child will be born male. And if she desires a female child, she can call on Kanzeon and the child will be born female. In practice, from what I have read, if a woman asks for a male child and calls on Kanzeon and then gives birth to a female child, the understanding is that that is the skillful means of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. The point being that in some societies which are heavily oriented towards having male children, a woman in such a situation who hasn't got a male child is in some peril. And in looking up and asking for help, she can find refuge. It doesn't matter whether the child is born male or female. What matters is that no matter what situation you find yourself in, you can find peace of heart. If bound in chains, in prison, let a man just think on Kanzeon's great holy power. At once the shackles will then set him free. When poisonous herbs or magic threaten harm, the power of Kanzeon, if thought upon, will quickly send the curse back whence it came. Poisonous herbs or magic, poisonous herbs to me means medicine that a poisonous substance that was meant to be a medicine and that is being wrongly used. So it includes giving wrong teaching. This will not harm you if you are still in your center. If poisonous creatures, evil ones, should come, upon great Kanzeon's power gently dwell, straightway those evil ones dispersed will be. When snakes and scorpions attack a man, exhaling evil poisons, scorching him, By dwelling on great Kanseyan's holy power, they will be turned away with shrieks of fear. Snakes and scorpions is often a metaphor for hatred and lust. When lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, when hailstones beat and rain in torrents pours, the power of Kanseyan, if thought upon, will quickly clear the heavens of the storm. If struck by cruel disaster's evil hand, or tortured by interminable pain, a being flees to Kanseyan's gentle arms, he, being wise and full of mystic power, will save him from all worldly grief and care. With all miraculous powers well endowed, and widely skilled in knowledge of all things, in all the world, in all the quarters, there is not a place where Kanon does not go. Hells, evil spirits, beastly creatures, all the evil ways of living, all the pain that comes from birth, old age, disease, and death will for eternity all pass away. Hells, evil spirits, beastly creatures. These are called the three realms, or the three unfortunate realms, or the three evil paths of existence. And they show the three bottom worlds in the scroll of the six worlds. Hells, evil spirits, meaning hungry ghosts, and beastly creatures, meaning animals. The human world is all the evil ways of living, all the pain that comes from birth, old age, disease, and death. These will pass away for eternity, in that you come to understand that whatever arises can help and teach if you are still in your center. Great Kanseyan views all the world in truth, free from defilement, loving, knowing all, full of compassion. The words here, knowing all, of course, refer to the compassion of the cosmic Buddha. I think that this word, all-knowing, or knowing all, has more to do with the down-to-earth practical sense of being able to act from meditation in whatever circumstance may arise, knowing what to do with whatever arises, much more than some kind of universal knowledge that, you know, knows what everybody's thinking all the time, or everything that's going to happen in the future. It has much more to do with being in the present moment, relying on your meditation, and out of your meditation, understanding what needs to be done and how to do that. Full of compassion, he must always be prayed to, adored for all eternity. He is a light, pure, spotless, like the sun. With wisdom does he darkness all dispel, subverting all effects of wind and fire. His all-illuming light fills all the world. As thunder shakes the universe, does he control his loving body. And his thought of great compassion, like a cloud from which a rain of Dharma comes as nectar down, destroys the flames of evil passions all. As thunder shakes the universe, you have that unshakable stillness represented by the wrathful aspect of Avalokiteshvara as a chalanata, reining in the self with his rope, and his thought of great compassion, that intent to have compassion for all living things, like a cloud from which a rain of dharma comes as nectar down, destroys the flames of evil passions all. Here you have the Bodhisattva pouring out the waters of compassion, as we see in the shrine here. When, threatened by court judgments or in camp the military, should a man oppress, let him but think on Kanseon's great power, and all his enemies will be dispersed. If your heart is in the right place, if your heart is in the right place, you will not see enemies. It doesn't mean everything will feel good. It means that you will know what to do in that situation, and so it won't cause you fear. He is a most exquisite voice, a voice that all the world encompasses, the voice of Brahma, voice of oceans, one that all the voices of the world does much excel. Because of this, our thought must always dwell upon him. So here the compassion manifests in right speech. And what we can emulate through speaking from the heart of meditation. Let us never cherish thoughts of doubt about great Kanseon, who is all pure and holy and a refuge true, protecting in all grief, in trouble, death, disaster. He possesses merit all, regards all things with a compassionate eye, and like the ocean holds within himself a mass of virtues inestimable. For this he must forever be adored. As we open our heart to the cosmic Buddha, we can find that mass of virtues within ourselves. It's not us, we don't own it, and as we open to it, it truly is illimitable. Then rose up from his seat Jiji Bosatsu to stand before the Buddha, saying thus, "World-honored one, they who this scripture hear of Kanseon Bosatsu must indeed no small amount of merit gain, for here his life of perfect action is described. The name Jiji Bosatsu means something like the upholder or the protector of the earth, perhaps the protector of the land. This, as far as I know, this is the only place in Buddhist scripture where this particular bodhisattva appears. And the sense that I've been able to gather about this bodhisattva is that perhaps he was a king or a guardian of some kind, and speaking to the Buddha of the benefits that come to the people of this land through the teaching about Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. Jiji Bosatsu continues, "This is the life of one who, all endowed with powers all miraculous, appears in all directions." When the Buddha thus finished the recitation in the hall of this great scripture, which makes clearly plain the life and work of the All-Sighted One, all people present then, a great concourse, in number 84,000 strong, with all their hearts cherished a longing deep for the supreme enlightenment with which nothing in all the universe compares. Now this whole scripture is showing the value of faith, as faith is understood in Buddhism. The faith that there is that which we can take refuge in, and the faith in ourselves that we can find that refuge. The longing for the supreme enlightenment of the Buddha is the awakening of the mind of the Bodhisattva. the wish to help all beings cross over before you yourself have crossed over, the wish to train together with and for the good of all living things. And this longing for supreme enlightenment is what is called the mind that seeks the way, the bodhicitta. I find this scripture something that's very useful. I often kind of hear it singing to me in the background. I recite it almost every day myself. And I think it is a scripture that is well worth being familiar with. And if you're so inclined, it is worth committing to memory. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.